nothing to do. That was it. That was his refrain all day, driving nuts. I'm bored, nothing yet to do. And that's what Shemaya says. Shemaya Naftalion. Shemaya says, love being busy. Do something productive. Love, even if you don't need to, just do it anyway. Why? Because Melacha, he says, was given with a covenant. As it says, where do we learn out? It's a mitzvah to work. Sheshet Yamim Ta'avod. 6 days you will work. You have to work. He's taking this as a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to work for 6 days. Amazing. Think about it. We look at the pasuk, we say, Shesh Yamim Tavod. We think it's permission to work. He says, no, it's not permission to work. You have to work. 6 days you have to work. You'll do all your labors. Yom HaShavi Shabbat LaHashem. The 7th day is Shabbat. 1 day a week you rest. 6 days a week you... Well, he's talking about like rabbis. Rabbis work 7 days a week. So do housewives, right?
Overtime.
Good for you. Keep yourself busy. It's a mitzvah. There you go. It's a mitzvah.
And
huh? 1 second. We didn't get there. 1 day. 1 second. Slowly. First, let's talk about work. It's a mitzvah to work. Hear that? What do you mean mitzvah to work? It's a mitzvah to work. Keep yourself busy all the time. And even Adam Rishon, Hashem put him in the Gan Eden. What does it say? Le'ovda u'shomra, to work it and to guard it. So Rashi says over there, his work was prayer. Prayer is also work. People don't think prayer is work. How is prayer work? Why is prayer considered work? What work are you doing when you pray? Very good. What does that mean?
Work in your heart.
Work in your heart. What does that mean? How do you define work of your heart? Focusing your mind. Oh boy, that's painful. You ever try to focus your mind? It's so hard to focus your mind because the mind just keeps on going. It's like that's real labor. To focus one's mind takes a lot of mental effort. That's real avodah shebalev. So it's very hard to focus the mind. For anyone who tried to pray properly, I don't know if I could pray a single prayer properly. It's just like your mind just goes off at tangents, and it's very hard to keep it. So that's really avodah shebalev, is focusing the mind. So number one is love work. This is amazing. This is a very important rule which a lot of people today have forgotten. Love labor. Suppose it says, you know, I need leisure. I'm going to go on vacation and do this and do that. They get to mischief and all sorts of things. So it's important to stay on the straight and narrow. How do you stay on the straight and narrow? Keep yourself occupied with positive things. Very important. Number two. Usnat Rabbanu. And a person should be very careful from positions of power. Positions of power. Keep away from pride and positions of power. It's a curse. Why? How do we know? Three things shorten a person's life. What are the three things? Number one, a person who is a leader. How do we know? Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik was the first brother to die. Imagine, he had older brothers. He was the youngest of 10 brothers. He was the youngest of 10 brothers. His younger brother was Binyamin, was the youngest. But he was the youngest of 10 brothers. He died the first. Imagine. Why did he die the first? He lived only 110 years, which is very short in those days. 110 years, he was gone. Why? He was a leader. The stress and the pressure of leadership is a pain. And it caused them to be sick. So therefore, a person should try their best not to be a leader. Those are the smart guys. You know what? Look at the Gedolim. Look at all the Gedolim we've had in the last few generations. They were not leaders. They were appointed by not having elections even. People started coming to them. See, people started flocking to them. It's amazing. So yeah, I don't know how it works. Look how it works. The guy sits in his room all day and learning Torah. All of a sudden, people start lining up outside his house. He doesn't want to be bothered. Leave me alone. You know, it says the Rav Chaim Kanevsky, he got so many people coming to his door, you say bracha v'hatzlacha. Now he shortened it to buha. He doesn't have time. He said buha, 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 buha. They're taking my whole day away. I can't learn anymore. So, who is appointed him? No one. People started flocking to him because they see holiness. People know holiness. They see holiness. So anyway, it's interesting. But a person's got to keep away from leadership positions. If they want to live a long life, keep away from leadership positions. I'm talking to myself. And don't try and get close to the authorities. Now this is interesting because he's talking about who is Herod. Herod is the king. Keep away from the authorities. Keep away from the authorities. We see this today. Unfortunately, Jews are getting involved in politics. Well, sometimes we need some politics, but still, don't get too close to the authorities in case they'll start eyeing you, especially in those days. Herod was paranoid. You get too powerful, It'll kill you. Very simple. So in those days, it was treacherous. And we find this in Europe, right? In Europe, wherever the Jews got. Look, who was the foreign minister of Germany before the war? A Jewish guy. And they blamed him for all the troubles of Germany and caused anti-Semitism. Yeah, thank God in America we don't have a president who's Jewish. Thank God. Thank God we don't have a vice president who's Jewish. Thank God. Because they blame him. All the anti-Semitists of the world will get up and say, look, the Jew, look what he's doing to us. They can't say that about Trump. They can then blame his daughter. But at least...
His son-in-law
for sure. Yeah. She's also Jewish. That's the trouble.
Right.
Okay. So now look at the rabbis over here warning us about certain things, and you can see what's going on, the political climate in the country. So Herod is paranoid, he'll kill anyone with power. So the rabbis say, look, you know what? Keep away from the authorities. Keep away from the authorities. Aftalion says, Hachamim, look what he's saying. Now look what he's saying. He's warning people. The rabbis, he says, Hizaru b'divrechem, be careful with your words. Why? Because you know what Herod's hearing. He's listening to you. He has spies everywhere. So again, these are warnings, people. People, we don't realize. We're living in a free country. We can't understand. This is Israel, 100 BCE, 150 BCE. Herod the Great, rebuilt the temple. He had spies everywhere. Be careful what you say. Don't speak against him. You can read between the lines. Be careful what you say. Shema tachuvu, in case you will be liable, chovat galut, he'll exile you. That's the least of your troubles, he'll exile you. Tiglu l'makom Ibrahim, and he'll put you in a place with bitter waters. Okay, so again, a person's going to be very careful. The rabbis are going to be very careful what they say. The students shouldn't misunderstand them, because what they say can be poison to the next generation. People misinterpret them, and they'll drink their waters, and the students will die in their sins. In other words, he'll turn people off religion. And through the rabbis, a person will cause Chilul Hashem. So it's very, very important points over here. Number one, he says, be careful with the positions of authority, and don't get too close to the government, and be careful what you say. This is a good advice for everyone, not just rabbis, but especially rabbis, especially leaders, have to be careful what they say, because it can cause havoc. Okay, we're moving on to the greatest of all the Zugot. Who are the greatest of Zugot? Hillel and Shammai. Here we are. Everyone knows Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai lived in the period of the Second Temple. Hillel and Shammai. They were lucky, they saw the Second Temple. Hillel was a descendant of David HaMelech through his mother, not through his father. So really, technically, he could never become Mashiach. He was a descendant of David HaMelech through his mother. And he was born in Babylon, and he went, made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, because he wanted to learn Torah from Shemaya and Avtalion, who were the greatest sages of that time. And when they died, the Bnei Batera were the heads. Bnei Batera were the heads of the yeshiva. And what happened was, the 14th of Nisan, fell on Shabbat. 14th of Nisan, which is the day you bring the Pesach sacrifice. The 14th of Nisan fell on Shabbat, and you know what happened? They forgot what the halacha is. Do we bring Korban Pesach on Shabbat or not? Let's ask. Let's go. Do we bring Korban Pesach on Shabbat or not?
Yes.
Anyone? Yes. Anyone else? And the answer is yes. You bring Korban Pesach on Shabbat. No, the rabbis, the great rabbis, Bnei Batera, forgot the law. We don't know. There was no Gemara, there was no Talmud, there was no Mishnah. Forgotten. We lost this law.
Excuse me. You just mentioned Babylon.
Yes.
And that refers to Iraq.
Yes. Correct.
Why is it that a newly someone who wrote a book by Alexander Kine, he said that Babylon is actually America.
Good for him. Okay.
Why is that?
America was not discovered yet. But maybe it's just a nickname. It's a nickname.
It's not real?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. America wasn't around that time. Babylon is where Abraham came from. Abraham Avinu came from Babel.
Exactly.
And so it's a very ancient country where
Babylon
Iraq is.
Is Iraq. So yeah. He described it.
Okay. Anyway. Maybe he's making a joke. Like the Babylon of our time is America. That's what people say. Or the Egypt of our time is America. Of the culture. It's like the superpower of the world. Babylon was the superpower of the world. Babylon was the superpower of the world. So he's comparing the two cases. Anyway, so Hillel came from Babylon, Babel, which is where the Galut, the first exile, went to Babel. All the Jews went to Babel, taken there by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, destroys the first temple, takes the Jews to Babel, and not all the Jews made Aliyah. Very few Jews made Aliyah. 50,000 Jews in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah make Aliyah. The vast majority of Jews stay in Babel. Stay in Babel. That's where the Talmud was written, the Babylonian Talmud. But Hillel said, listen, I want to learn from the two greatest rabbis around, Shemaiah and Naftalion. He came specially to make Aliyah, to learn Torah in Yerushalayim. What better than that? And it says, the Gemara says a beautiful story. It says it was Shabbat, well, Friday night, and he couldn't afford to pay yeshiva tuition for himself. He had to go pay to go into the Beit HaMidrash. He couldn't afford it. So he sat on the skylight. On the skylight and looking into and hearing the class of Shemaiah Naftalion. Shemaiah Naftalion would give you drasha Friday night, and he would go learn the Torah. And when they walk in on Shabbat, they say, "Hey, what happened? It's so dark in here." They look upstairs and they look. There's a figure of a person on the roof in the skylight. And they go up there, and it snowed that night, and he was frozen. Hillel was frozen on the skylight. And they light a fire, and they say, "For a man like this, it's worth breaking Shabbat." Actually, you have to break Shabbat for all people. They're dying on Shabbat, you have to break Shabbat. Right. So they said, for him, especially it's good for us to light the fire for him to warm him up, Hillel. So it says Hillel obviously knew the most. And he tells the B'nai B'tira, it's a mitzvah to bring Korban Pesach even on Shabbat. So can you imagine? It's Shabbat, and we're going to the temple to offer up a sacrifice. Imagine, in the temple, on Shabbat. And that is, if Erev Pesach falls on Shabbat, they bring the sacrifice on Shabbat. How do we know? Because the Torah says, B'mo'ado. In its time, on the right time, you have to bring Korban Pesach at the right time, even if Erev Pesach falls on Shabbat. You bring the Korban Pesach. So then the question was, okay, so they made Hillel, B'nai B'tera, with all the greatness, imagine, their greatness was their humility. They said, listen, he knows more than us, he's going to be the chief rabbi. They vacated, can you imagine? They vacated the position. He's going to be the chief rabbi. Hillel says, this is beautiful, Hillel was the greatest, Hillel was amazing. Hillel says, Evei b'tamidav shel Aaron. Be like the students of Aaron HaKohen. What was the secret of Aaron HaKohen? Ohev Shalom. He loved peace. It's very, very critical for all of us to love peace. Sometimes we have troubles in our own families and wives. A person should be Gadol HaShalom. What's Gadol HaShalom? Big in peace. What do you mean big in peace? What does big mean? So we have a general rule. If you want to know what a word means, look at the first time it's used in the Torah. What's the first time the word Gadol is used in the Torah? Quickly. Ma'or HaGadol, the great light. Ma'or HaKaton, and the small light. What was the great light? The sun. And the small light is the moon. Why is the sun called the great light? Why is the moon called the small light? Besides the size. And the answer is Gadol means to radiate. Gadol. Ma'or HaGadol, the big light that's radiating. If you can radiate, you're Gadol. And what's Katan? Katan is a reflector. Reflector, radiator, and a reflector. So now you can understand. Gadol Hashalom, Gadol Hashalom. Be great in Shalom. Radiate peace. How do you radiate peace? Be the first one to say hi. Be the first ones to wish someone else. Be the first. Be the radiator, because people are sometimes waiting. You know, sometimes you're walking one side of the street, the other guy's walking the other street, and they're looking through the corners of their eyes, seeing what if he's going to notice me. They're not going to notice me. I'm going to just pass him by. And so the guy says, "Hi, how you doing?" And everyone says, "Yeah, hi, nice you. You wish me." So that's Gadol Hashalom. Gadol Hashalom is to be the first one to stretch out your hand, be the first one to wish, be the first one to take the initiative. Otherwise, the person says, "Ah, he's mad at me. He didn't talk to me. He passed me on the street and ignored me." He says the Chazon Ish was very careful not to look, close his eyes, whatever. But when he went on the street, he would wear his glasses. And I said, "Rabbi, why are you wearing your glasses on the street, of all places?" He said, "Well, maybe someone I'll know will pass by and he'll think I didn't acknowledge him. I'm angry with him. I have to acknowledge people when they pass by. It doesn't matter, even though I'm taking a risk. I'm wearing my glasses on the street." So he would wear his glasses on the street because he didn't want people to think he's ignoring them. It's a very, very powerful idea. It's to be Ohev Shalom. Radiate peace. Ohev Shalom. Love peace. Rodef Shalom. Run after peace. So some people say, "Okay, I love peace, but I'm not going to run after it. If this guy is causing me trouble, I'm not going to run after him. Leave him alone. Let him get away from me." Sometimes a person got to weigh this. But Aaron HaKohen was known for making peace between husband and wife. He was known to make peace between husband and wife. He was known to make peace between people. He was amazing. Aaron HaKohen had this way about him that people loved him to the point where they were willing to make peace for him. And Hillel had the same case. Hillel was the same, similar kind of personality. A lot of patience, a lot of love, a lot of effort into making peace in Klal Yisrael. But he didn't just make peace. He would use peace and he would use love of people to get to the point of Mikarvan LaTorah and bring them back to the Torah, bring them back to God, which is the way of Avraham Avinu. How did Avraham Avinu bring people close to God? Through chesed, through kindness and through loving them. He brought them closer to God. So a person rebukes someone, hey, I'm going to teach this guy a lesson. The guy, you don't keep Shabbat, I saw you driving on Shabbat, you so-and-so, you dirty so-and-so, don't come to shul anymore. Is he going to do kiruv or is he going to push him further away?
Further away.
So a person should be mekarev otam, or hev shalom, or dev shalom, or hev tabriot. Love people. He doesn't say love Jews. He said love people. Why? Every single person was created in the image of God. So Hillel is very powerful. And that's why Hillel attracted the most students. Why did Hillel become so popular? Because if you go to Shammai and you make a mistake, he gets very upset. He's a kapdan. Shammai was a kapdan. We're going to come to Shammai. Hillel, easygoing. So all the students love to be with Hillel. He's always easygoing and sweet and kind and gentle. And therefore he became the biggest yeshiva. The biggest yeshiva was Beit Hillel. Nice name for yeshiva, right? Beit Hillel. We have Hillel Yeshiva. Named after Hillel today. Can you imagine? You still have yeshiva named after Hillel. Beit Hillel. The house of Hillel became the majority of rabbis. And that's why the halacha is like Hillel. Because you go by the majority. Who's the majority? His students were the majority. I say today, the rabbi of the biggest yeshiva wins. Because his students all become rabbis in all different places. They take over the world, basically. The Torah world's being taken over. See, Lakewood, it's amazing how they expanded all over the country. They have kolalim all over the country. And Baltimore also, there is so rabbis all over the place. Why you? Rabbis all over the place. So the bigger the yeshiva, the bigger, the more impact they have on the Jewish world. So Hillel had the most impact on the Jewish world. He had the most students. Why did he have the most students? Because of his personality. His personality attracted students. So not only was he a great man, we're going to see that he himself forgot the halakha. So what happened? He's now the chief rabbi. And Pesach is going to fall on, Erev Pesach is going to fall on Shabbat. So the next question is, how do the Jewish people carry their shechita knives on Shabbat? You're not allowed to carry your shechita knife. Okay, the sheep will just walk. You make them walk. So you're not carrying them. You have to walk to the Beit HaMikdash on Shabbat. So you make them walk. What about the knives? So they ask Hillel, what about the knives? Hillel says, I don't know. You got me there. But let's see what the Jewish people do. They know what to do. Amazing. Amazing confidence in the minhag. The Jewish people know what their parents did, their grandparents did. I'm not from Israel, I don't know. I'm from Babylon, but these guys know what they're doing. So sure enough, they put the knives on Erev Shabbat, they tie them into the hairs of the sheep. So sheep would carry their own knives. Wild. Anyway, so he saw, this is his general rule. Im enam neviim, b'nei neviim hem. He says that the Jews are not prophets themselves, they're the descendants of prophets. Imagine, look how much faith he had in the Jewish people. Every single Jew may not be a prophet, but you're a descendant of a prophet. Imagine, each one of us is a descendant of a prophet. There were so many prophets at that time. Million. At one time there were a million prophets, because there were schools of prophecy. So only the prophets which were needed for future generations were written down, but we don't have any prophecies that were. There were tons of prophecies. So if we're not prophets, we are the descendants of prophets. How do we know descendants of prophets? Because Avraham Avinu was a prophet. Rambam says, you can't see God and hear God if you're not a prophet. If God speaks to you, you must be a Navi. God only speaks to the Navi. So we're the descendants of Abraham, we're all prophets. We're the descendants of Sarah was a prophetess. We are prophets. So amazing. So all of us are prophets. We're not prophets, but descendants of prophets. That's what Hillel says. If the Enam Nevi'im Hem, B'nei Nevi'im Hem. If we're not prophets, we are descendants of prophets. So let's see what the Jews do. Get confidence in the Jewish people. Okay, who are Yomer? By the way, Hillel is the most quoted of all the rabbis in Pirkei Avot. Hillel is the most quoted of all the prophets. We're going to see how many Mishnayot are just Hillel. It doesn't even say his name. Who are Yomer? He used to say, who's he? Hillel! Keeps on going. Hillel used to say, a person who wants a big name, a person who wants a very big name, so he wants big honor, Avat Shema, he's going to lose his reputation. So his big lights all of a sudden. The guy's in the top of the world, within seconds, goes out. The light goes out. Why? Because he's doing it for the sake of honor. Person doing things for the sake of honor, they have their bright lights, the names in bright lights, all of a sudden they lose their reputation, they lose their name. Udlam Mosif, whoever does not add Torah, Yasif, his days will end as well. So it's very, very harsh statements over here. So person number one is not to run after honor. It says those who run after honor, honor runs away from them. If you run away from honor, honor runs after you. Right? Kol ha-boreach min ha-kavod, ha-kavod boreach ha-charav. Whoever runs away from honor, honor chases them. So the guy comes to the rabbi, he says, Rabbi, he says, all my life I've been running away from honor, and the honor didn't come catch me. I'm not honored. So the rabbi says, you know why? He says, because you're always looking behind you. Where's the honor? So the person who wants honor will not be honored. People don't like people who want to be honored all the time. They won't give him honor. But a guy who's humble, they'll run after. That's what Hillel says. Hillel knows from his own personality. He was humble and they made him the head. If he was pushing his way through, no one would like him. They'd push him away. And to keep on adding. A person's got to keep on adding. What you learn from your parents, you have to be better than them. A person should not rest on their laurels and say, listen, you know, so who says that a person is like a zero? What do you mean a person like a zero? And says, people say, you know, my ancestors were rabbis. Well, what are you? What are you? Your ancestor was a rabbi. What are you? Who cares? You have to be the one. Because you can, all the ancestors are like zeros. So you have 100 ancestors before you, that's two zeros. But if you're not a one, it's just you're a zero as well. Zero, zero, zero is nothing. So you have to be the one before the zeros. The ancestors are the zeros who give you extra potential. But we have to be above them because they taught us, and we have to try and raise ourselves above them a little bit. So we have to keep on adding. Every generation has to add, not to subtract. Ma'alin ba'kodesh v'lo moridim. We have to add to holiness and not go down in holiness. That's what Hillel tells us. Udlam mosif yasif. A person should add wisdom. Add wisdom. If he doesn't add wisdom, yasif.
Why do you sign the Mishnah? Is that because he's from Bavel?
Yes. Number one, he's from Babel. Number two is, we have to know that the spoken language at that time was Babylon, was Iraq, was Aramaic. Aramaic was the spoken language, and that's why the whole Torah was translated by Unculus into Aramaic.
Right.
The spoken language on the street was Aramaic. It's interesting, very fascinating. The Rambam says, why did the rabbis, why did the Anshei Knesset have to write the Siddur? He says, because there were so many different languages spoken by Jews, they prayed in different languages. Imagine you have a minyan, this guy's praying in Parsi, this one's praying in Aramaic, this one's praying in this. So the rabbis wrote down the tefillah. Just have a central tefillah. Everyone says the same tefillah, otherwise everyone's praying in different languages. Plus they had different dialects, and who knows what's going on. 120 provinces, imagine. Persia had 120 provinces. The rabbis wrote down the Siddur. It's interesting, Rambam. But we see over here how many languages they spoke. So one of the languages they spoke was Aramaic. Aramaic was a very big language amongst the Jews. That's why the whole Talmud is in Aramaic. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, no, let's bring back Hebrew. He writes the Mishnah in Hebrew. But you see certain rabbis with clothing, like Hillel, quoting Aramaic. And a person who doesn't learn is liable to death penalty. Can you imagine? Very hefty. So this Hillel, we say Hillel is such a nice guy, right? Hillel had his priorities screwed on right. Number one is shalom is a very priority. But you have shalom without Torah, it's really worthless. Because there's no growth, there's no spiritual growth. So there has to be spiritual growth. You want peace, and you want spiritual growth. That's what Rambam says. He says, why do Jews want Mashiach all the time? Because we want to be able to have peace, so we can learn Torah. We want peace to be able to learn Torah because we want to have that spiritual growth. So peace with no spiritual growth is valueless. There's no value. Letaken olam b'malchut shaddai. We need to fix the world with the kingship of God. Fixing the world, there's world peace. But there's no God. If there's no God, there's no spirituality. There's no spirituality. That peace is not going to last. That peace is going to become pieces very quickly. U'dishamesh b'taga. A person uses the crown of Torah to have physical pleasure. Chalaf. He's going to be removed from the world. So it's very important not to have pleasure from the words of Torah. Okay, what does that mean? Physical pleasure. It's like a rabbi says, you know, I'm coming to give a brachot. I take credit card, I take Visa, I take MasterCard. He's getting pleasure from the Torah. He knows people are going to honor him and they're going to give donations. The person can't do that. Okay. Now we come to a very famous Mishnah, one of my favorite Mishnahs. I'm sure you all agree. This is one of the greatest Mishnayot. Hillel again says, "Who are Yomer?" We're getting a lot of spread over here from Hillel. You know why we're getting a lot of spread from Hillel? Number one is Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who wrote the Mishnah, was his great-great-grandson. So listen, if your great-great-grandfather says something, Hillel, my great-great-grandfather, he's my father. So of course he gets extra space in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi really gave him kavod, gave his great-grandfather a lot of kavod. And he gave a few Mishnayot over here. Hillel says, "Imena lili, mili." Beautiful. The Torah says, "Ve'ahavta." You have to love your friend as yourself. If you don't love yourself, who's going to love you? If I don't worry about myself, if I don't worry about my priorities in life, if I don't worry about what I want to aim for in life, no one's going to worry about it. Who's going to do it for me? If I don't do my own, look after my own affairs, who's going to look after them for me? Right? If I don't have to worry about my own spiritual affairs, who's going to worry about my spirituality? If I don't worry that I'm on time for tefillah, if I don't worry if I'm doing mitzvot, if I don't worry about that, who's going to worry for it? So it works in the physical world and the spiritual world. Everyone knows we're here to fix our souls. All of us has a tikkun to make. You know, we have to pray to God, Hashem, don't take us before we fix ourselves. Hashem, don't take us before our time. That we have to do what we need to do to fix ourselves. So if I am anili, if I'm not going to fix myself, who's going to fix me? Shani, that's me. All I worry about, then, on the other hand, a person just becomes egocentric. All I worry about is myself. I want to fix myself. Forget about the rest of the people. That's it. Mani, so what am I? So, in other words, there's got to be a balance between inward and outward. Inward and outward. We talked about last week. Inward and outward. If I'm just worried about myself, I become selfish. And I'm not worried about other people. I'm selfish completely. Mani, what have I become? What kind of person am I? Selfish person. And don't delay. Time passes by. If not now, when? If you don't do something fast and quickly, it was postponed. I'll do it tomorrow. L'shana haba'a b'Yerushalayim. Next year in Jerusalem. What happens? Never in Jerusalem. Next year. So we have to be like Rivka Himmel over here. Say, this year in Jerusalem. Next week in Jerusalem. Because in law, I've seen people, their lives pass by and they're stuck. That's it. They get stuck. So I've got to know not to delay. In law, any mitzvah a person wants to do, do it as soon as possible. Don't postpone it. Don't keep postponing it. Hashem should give us all the opportunities to do as many mitzvahs as possible and to make sure we do them. So even if a person is doing for themselves, it's not enough. Money, because the person becomes selfish. And if not now, when? Don't procrastinate. So it's interesting because all these midot that we have, all these character traits that we have, even procrastination can be used for good. How can procrastination be used for good? When the Yetzirah comes to you and says, do this, something bad, I'll do it tomorrow, it's okay, I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, no, I'm busy right now, let me be. Always push it off, because you want to push it off as much as possible. So we have different traits, and a person's going to use the traits for good. All these traits can be used. Okay. You have to know when to use them. That's the thing. So a person gets angry for the wrong things, he's using his trait for bad. If he gets angry for the right things, he uses his trait for good. The Rambam says even a person should not be unfeeling like a stone. We have to show our emotions. There is a time to get angry, very short time, and for the right things. A person should never lose their control. Okay, if not, now when? Very important. If I don't fix myself, when am I going to fix myself? When I get older, people always say, you know, had a guy here, unbelievable. The guy used to work like a dog. He was a pharmacist. He was always on call, 24/7, he's working. He said, Rabbi, don't worry, when I retire, I'm going to be in shul. He retired, and I don't see the guy anymore. True. It's true. He said, I promise you, Rabbi, when I retire, I'm going to have more time for shul.
Are you going to have to Florida?
No, he's here.
He's still here.
He will not come to shul. Why does he come to shul? So I don't like the way they pray. And I'm like, So, Im lo akshav, don't wait, don't procrastinate. Don't say when I retire, Rabbi, I'll come and learn shiur, I'll come to class, I've heard that before. Im lo akshav, imatai. That's a very good motto. Do it now, don't waste time. How many people are saying, you know, when I retire, who knows if we're going to live that long? Number one, who knows if we're going to live that long? Halavai, Number two is you get into a rut, you get into a habit. Once you form the habit, it's very hard to break. The guy's in habit. I see the news at this time, I have my dinner this time. Where are you? Can you come to Binyan? I'm having my dinner. It's 7 o'clock, it's my dinner time. What are you going to do? So we have to change our Binyan time because of your dinner time. It's crazy, it's crazy. Everyone has so many excuses. Everyone has so many excuses. All right. Try these excuses when you're in school with your teacher. Where's your homework? Oh, I had an excuse. This excuse, that excuse. Okay. All right. Shammai Omer. Now we come to his batzug. His partner, Shammai, was a partner. Shammai was, Hillel, it says, was a wood chopper. Can't even understand, right? Hillel would go and collect wood for firewood and sell the wood. Can you imagine what hard work he worked? Says half his money went to the yeshiva and half the money went to support himself. Hillel. That's Hillel. Shammai was a builder. Shammai would go and build construction. He was in construction.
He was a rich man.
Shammai says, and this would come to this exactly the same point, one of the same points. So Shammai was famous, but he was a kapdan. The Gemara says in Shabbat, Daf Lamed, Lamed Aleph, we're going to have to see, look up that Gemara, it's a very beautiful Gemara. But all the people who came to him to convert, and he pushed them away. Shammai would push people away. Luckily, it says they went to Hillel, and he converted them. It's a very strange stories over there. We have to look at that Gemara. Remind me next week, or next time we learn, in 2 weeks. I have to look up that Gemara. It's a very beautiful Gemara. And let's see the stories over there. Fantastic stories over there. Okay, we're going to stop here. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll do that Gemara next time. Well, the time flew.